I think I'd like to go there first before going to
that's what we did the last that's before what we did going in to May.
Kokomo because digging through
yeah
all the
well it's like, literally that, that
it is,
one
it
you
is
could
literally
just go there
a toy pit
dig.
Hey, welcome to episode 121 of the Infamous Podcast. I'm Brian.
This is Johnny.
And I threw that to you as you were taking the drink. I apologize.
Drinking from the cup of Wonder Woman.
The cupeth of Wonder Woman floweth over. Mm. Anyway. Hey, this week we're talking about our fun road trip to Kokomo Toys, and we're going to review Justice League. Sound good?
Non-spoilery.
Spoiler light.
Non-spoilery.
but before that, there's some news bits, bites to talk about. And before we get to that, just want to remind you guys, if you want to support the show, check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have bunches of cool levels. You get some cool stuff as you go through. And then you get access to the episodes early. So that's cool. And then we actually have a shop now. Like, if you want to get some Infamous Podcast merch with the old logo and the new logo now on Threadless. So links to that, all of that, links on the website.
Cool.
All right. So getting into the news bites. The first one is something we covered last year or maybe like a year and a half ago. It's been a while. I'm still tracking down the episodes so I can put in the show notes. But DC Comics editor Eddie Berganza, which I never say it right, has finally been fired following, they say, sexual assault claims.
He was a grabber.
Well, okay. Yeah. So, because from like reading the story, it seems like he tried to kiss people. He like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And so my question to this is, we covered this a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been an open thing because when we covered it, it was because DC told him he was no longer allowed to go to conventions.
And then he was allowed to go to conventions again when they moved to Los Angeles.
Right. And then I guess the grabbing started back up.
I don't think so.
No.
What happened was there was an article, like he warned DC in that, and I guess an article was coming out and I forget who put it out.
I think it was Variety may have done it.
No.
Oh,
no, it was one of the internet magazines, oh, okay. I think. And Bleeding Cool was where I first seen that this article was coming out. And the article actually had names type thing going on.
Oh, BuzzFeed. It was from BuzzFeed.
BuzzFeed, that's it. Yeah. So, like, the people they interviewed actually named themselves.
Yeah.
And that had not happened up until then. So, at that point, I think DC was like, you know, well, now... Now it's like, you know, the people...
We can't sweep it under the rug anymore.
Yeah. I don't think they were trying to sweep it under the rug. I think it was just, you know, it's different when it's like, you know, such and such claimed but stayed anonymous compared to, you know, that's where it's like you're on a watch list.
Right.
But if somebody comes out and says, this editor who worked for DC but doesn't work for DC anymore and named a name... It's like, well, we know that person.
Yeah.
And they never said anything before or, you know, they didn't go into detail like they did in that article.
Right.
And I mean, that article, like, they went into some pretty gory details on stuff that had happened. And it's like, well, if DC knew about it, Warner Brothers knew about it, why didn't they do anything about it then?
Yeah. Why are they waiting so long?
And it's like, if they didn't know about it and, you know, the ladies are coming out and, like, literally saying what happened now... Yeah, he's still responsible for his actions.
Right. Well, so it's interesting from a couple points of view. But one of the things is he's currently the group editor on Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
And he's the editor of this Dark Knight Metal. So I assume it's all written and done and put
done.
To bed.
I
and,
mean,
like,
you know
the it's just a matter of they're making the books now.
Yeah.
But... Say they're not, like, you know.
That's fine.
You know, I wonder, will there be a tonal shift or, you know, what happens?
I mean, you know, there's people, he has assistants.
Yeah.
So the assistants just have to step up. I mean, you know, it's any job where, you know, if you have a manager and the manager gets fired, dies,
right.
quits, whatever, the person who was their backup has to step up. And yeah. it's like, you know, step up, show your colors,
yeah.
show who you are. And that's, you know, that's a pretty like high position to take over.
Yeah.
And there's people that probably deserve it.
Yeah.
He deserved to be fired when he was banned from conventions.
Yeah, in 2012 is when that happened, by the way.
He should have either been fired or demoted down.
Mm-hmm.
Really, like, demoted down. And that's where I'm like, that's, you know, on the people that are his superiors.
Yeah.
And what's the worst part is like, I a lot of this is going on in a lot of different spectrums of entertainment right now. But the worst part to me of this is DC is ran by a woman.
Yeah.
And she,
Diane Nelson.
Yeah. And she let this guy continue to be there. I'm like, you know, yeah. it's one of those things where, yeah, he might have been good at his job, but if women weren't comfortable around him, and you know women weren't comfortable around him, it's like, you know, why did you put people through that?
Right.
It's like, you know, step up and be an actual leader and do something about it.
There's a lot of leadership issues at DC just in general yeah. right now. So this is just kind of, this is the part of the iceberg that you never get to see.
Right.
You know,
I mean, it's very prevalent in news right now with a lot of the harassment.
Well,
and
I think that's part of it.
Yeah.
Is like all of this stuff has come out about, you know, Harvey Weinstein, Kevin Spacey, even Simon Kinberg. Andrew.
Kreisberg
from yeah. The Flash and the CW superhero shows.
Right.
You know, so I feel like, you know, they just kind of were like, okay, now we have to deal with it.
My one problem is, yeah, I feel bad for these, you know, people, male and female, that had to deal with this.
Right.
But it's like, you chose your career over your integrity in some ways, because it's like you could have said something, even if you were at the beginning of your career, you should have said something.
Yeah.
To somebody who was in authority. I wouldn't have even gone to anybody that you worked with. I would have gone to the police. Yeah. I would have, you know, the police would have done something.
File a report
or something. But when you don't say something for so long, and the worst part is all the people that are like, oh, we knew Harvey was doing that.
Yeah.
Well, why didn't you say something?
Right.
Really? Why didn't you say something?
Stephen Amell had a great comment about that, saying, like, if you're not saying something, if you see it and you're not doing anything,
yeah.
you're just as culpable.
Right.
You know, so.
I mean, yeah, I've had to step in at jobs that I've worked at. I've had to step in on people before where it's like, hey, you know, there's a certain line you don't cross.
Yeah.
And that. I mean, flirting and stuff like that. I'm like, that. Everybody flirts.
I think you can't even do that anymore, though.
But it's
right?
like, you know, like, you if know, you know, like if you work with people
lane.
Long enough
yeah.
and that
you, build
and
a rapport.
You have a relationship and, you know, it becomes a family type thing. But there are certain times where you even have to say to people, hey, watch what you say.
Yeah. Yeah.
It don't even have to be sexual. It's like you could right. just be saying, you know, that person's a weirdo.
Right.
Watch how you say that sure. because it could come back on you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that.
All right. So he's gone. They finally dealt with it. All right. So it's time to heal. Time to move forward. All right. So
that
next
just sounds like a tagline. No.
Thoughts and prayers.
And
prayers.
No, it's, no, it's,
I know,
it's the thing
facetious.
Where it's like, you know, tip of the hat to DC for doing it.
Yep.
Should have done it sooner. Be more reaction or more actionary, not reactionary.
Proactive, not reactive.
Yeah.
So agreed.
Take action. When it's actually like, you know, because the thing is like Bleeding Cool, you know, as
yeah.
much as they do like stuff that isn't serious.
Right.
They when they do something serious, it's like they're pretty serious about it and maybe you should look into it.
So if you're not familiar with bleedingcool.com, it's a news site
yeah.
for the comic industry. And they are as irreverent gets.
Yeah.
So think like if you're a sports fan, think Deadspin or Barstool Sports. But at the end of the day, the guys from Bleeding Cool are some pretty well-respected
yeah.
internet journalists. Or, you know, I'm not even going to put the internet moniker on there because they're journalists, because
right,
they
yeah.
do research. And like you said, when it's a serious topic, they,
yeah.
you know, they come in with their suit and tie on. And not
well,
their,
it's
you know,
the thing. I look at it this
squirting
way.
Squirting flowers.
Is like, you know, there's as many female fans of comic books, comic book movies, the whole genre.
Probably more at this point.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
But at this point, it's that thing where it's like everybody's a fan.
Well,
but being around, being that I've worked in a comic book store for 20 plus years off and on.
Right.
Being that I've gone to conventions for 30 years at this point. I knew there was female fans. I know there's female fans.
Right.
I knew there was female fans before most people really like acknowledged it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things where I want there to be female fans because they have great ideas.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, as much as the men have great ideas, the women have great ideas too.
Right.
And it's like, you know, why should they have to put up with bullshit? Like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
really, it's like men shouldn't have to put up with it either because, you know, men do get sexually harassed too. It's just we don't.
And it's not just by other men that
well,
men
right.
get
yeah,
sexually
yeah,
harassed.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? I mean, I've had that happen to me before.
Oh, and you are a very handsome man.
Well,
so.
You know, it's just one of those things where, you know, I have a pretty laid back attitude, but there's been times where I've had to, like, you know, and I'll speak up for myself and I'll say, hey, don't talk to me that way
right.
or, you know. And it's one of those things where, you know, I wish women felt that they could do that, too.
Right.
Yeah. My sister, she probably would.
Dude,
she,
your sister would just punch
well,
someone in the face, so.
Yeah. She'd lay a person out. So. But, I mean, there's women that would do that. Women who will say, like, hey, don't talk to me that way.
Yeah.
You know, but there's some that are afraid to. And I'm like, don't be afraid to. Say, if somebody's bothering you like that, say something about it.
Right. You well, know? Like, there's the thing at IGN right now. I don't know if you saw that, where... I guess it's a former employee now.
Yeah.
And a couple, it's like a couple former employees kind of going through things where it was reported to HR and HR didn't really do anything.
Right.
That, like, didn't do enough, I guess. But, like, the tone of the relationship was like, hey, we're friends. Like, if I did something, like, she never told him what he did wrong. She never really told HR what he did wrong, just that she had this feeling. And it was one of those things where, He claims he never like touched her or anything like that, which you don't know. And they'll, you know, they'll prove that, they'll hash that stuff
yeah.
out. But like at the end of the day, you know, like you're saying, if you have a problem, just
yeah.
talk to someone, talk to them about it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, and you know, this was a thing where it was a older employee and a newer employee. So there was like a 15-year age difference and,
oh wow. Okay.
You know, and so, you know, I mean, we're both, you know, you're in your 40s. I'll be there in a couple weeks.
Right.
And, you know, like we've both worked with, you know, younger type people and we're not immature, but like we are definitely much more laid back than most 40-year-olds.
Yeah.
And so like when I taught, like the students always came up and like talked to me like I was a peer.
Right. Yeah,
you know,
sure.
Because I'm just laid back like that. I never presented myself as, hey, just because I'm on the other side of the podium from you, I'm above you. Like, everything is always a conversation. You're free to bring ideas
right.
to me. And, like, you know, if you think, you know, hey, like, I want to learn more about this
they
or
know,
that.
Like,
yeah.
the younger people that I work with know that I'm a manager.
Right.
So it's like I am superior in that way that I'm your manager. You, if, but it, they also know if somebody's bothering you or if you have a problem, come to me.
Right.
Because I'll put my boot heel down on whoever it is.
Sure.
And I've done it before. I've had to do yeah. it before. And so. Especially like young, you know, younger girls that I've worked
yeah.
with, because I've worked with people from high school age up to senior citizens.
Yeah.
And I've had to do that before.
I feel like we're
but then I've had people where, you know, you joke around with them all the time and, you know, they take one thing out of context and it's like, no, you know me, you
right.
know who I am. And it's like for you to go complain about that. It's like, no.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. We're mansplaining now. Let's move on.
Oh, no, that wasn't. That's not mansplaining. That's just the whole thing of, you know, if you are working with somebody over a long period of
right,
time,
right,
they
right.
know you. If you work with somebody new and you act the way you work with people that you work with for a long time, you're dumb.
Yeah.
It's like that's just dumb because it's like let the person get to know you first.
Right.
And that because there's some people that you need to get to know and see what they're like, too.
Yep. All right. Let's talk some other comic news.
Sure.
This time, like, actual comic books from the House of Ideas this time.
yeah.
So Marvel has decided that they are going to do a six-issue Thrawn. Throne. Thrawn miniseries.
Did you autocorrect yourself?
Yeah. So the six-issue Thrawn miniseries, which is an adaptation of the Timothy Zahn novel.
Okay.
And you'll be excited because it's Jody Hauser writing. So Jody did the Rogue One adaptation.
Oh, okay.
Which was really good.
Yeah.
And then the art is Luke Ross and Nolan Woodward with letters by Clayton Cowles.
Okay.
So this will be interesting. Now, you didn't read Thrawn, did you?
No. I bought it. I haven't read it yet. That's what the cold winter months are for.
Yep. It's not. It was really good. I loved it.
Yeah.
It's not Heir to the Empire.
No, it's not supposed to be.
Just the quality is not Heir to the Empire.
But
it's because he's kind of, Zahn was forced to work within the new canon.
Right.
So there's some,
well, yeah,
some
I mean, he was given carte blanche to do the Thrawn trilogy, as it's called.
Right.
I mean, that was pretty much like the dark times of Star Wars when there wasn't much of anything.
I think Zahn is needs to have a little bit of credit for reinvigorating Star Wars.
Oh, sure,
And
I think that's why they keep him around, is because of that.
I will say.
And he's created one of the best villains in the Star Wars mythos.
Yeah.
I mean,
absolutely.
The Thrawn in the books is equal to the Thrawn in the cartoon in Rebels.
Did you watch Rebels yet?
I haven't watched this week's.
Okay, so it doesn't spoil anything, right. But Hera did something in an X-Wing that I have been waiting for them to do in Star Wars my entire life. Okay. And it's not just fly in a straight line. It's actually use the fact that you are essentially limitless from friction and in physics.
Well,
and space.
It's the whole thing of she's the best pilot they've got.
So, and on Rebels Recon, they asked Pablo Hidalgo who's a better pilot, Hera or Dave Filoni. They asked who's a better pilot, Hera or Poe Dameron, and he's like, Hera, hands down.
Well, who do you think Poe learned to fly from? Probably.
That's So I have a theory.
Okay.
That the General Syndulla in Rogue One,
yes,
is Sean.
No, it's her.
It'll make more sense after you see this.
Yeah,
episode.
It's her.
So,
have you watched Forces of Destiny?
But that's not, is that canon?
That is canon.
Really?
Yes.
Ooh.
So why that reaction?
Well, I guess the art is what really kind of
the stories are really
the stories
good.
Are good.
And
oh yeah, because she never mind.
General
Syndulla
is at the
I forgot all about that
at Endor.
I forgot.
Yeah.
Okay, so my theory's been.
But we know that the Millennium Falcon is the superior ship.
Myth busted. Yeah. Although it's pretty fun. She got how fun. How she
well,
got
it's
Honda
cool
said.
That it's cool that the idea that we know that Chopper and Hera survive.
Yeah.
Like we don't. I don't think Kanan's coming out of this thing alive.
I think maybe Sabine. And Hera and Chopper, and that's it. I think Zeb will be the first to go.
I think Zeb's going to go back home.
You think back to the... Oh, I guess he could always go back. Okay. We got to... We'll see.
You want Zeb to go the way of Dargo.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want Zeb to go the way of Dargo.
He's
Khal Drogo. I hated that crap.
Khal Drogo. Yeah. All right. Well, so we can talk about Rebels more next week because it's on hiatus now for a few weeks.
Oh, is that, was
after
that the
this
last
episode?
Okay.
Yeah. This was like the midpoint finale.
Okay. All right.
But yeah. Okay. So Thrawn, it's coming in February, 6 issues. I'm totally looking forward
to it. Do they say who's doing the covers?
No, they did not.
I hope it's Phil Noto. Because those covers that he did for Rogue One and Force Awakens are some of like the best art that he's done.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why they don't have him doing the movie posters.
Yeah, I don't know. All right.
Well, because they don't do art. They do Photoshop on movie posters now.
And if you're Netflix and it's The Babysitter, you Photoshop two right hands on there.
Oh, yeah? I didn't notice
that. Go back and look at it. The hand that's holding the peanut butter sandwich is a right hand. And the hand that's holding the knife when it's behind her back is a right hand.
Oh, okay.
So, all right. So the last bit of news, and this one just kind of got my ire, and I don't want to go a whole lot into it, but... Rotten Tomatoes.
This is one where I don't care.
Well, so, and I'll tell you why it has my ire, but Rotten Tomatoes is delaying the Justice League rating. Now, Rotten Tomatoes has caught a lot of crap from people who don't understand what Rotten Tomatoes is.
Oh, sure.
For saying, oh, you're anti-Warner Brothers, you're anti-DC. Now, they can't be anti-Warner Brothers because the Harry Potter movies are universally loved.
Yeah.
On Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah. A lot of the Warner Brothers movies are universally loved.
And
on
you've
Rotten
explained
Tomatoes.
Before what now, Rotten Tomatoes is.
I'm going to remind people.
Right.
Rotten Tomatoes is not a review service. Rotten Tomatoes is a review aggregator. An aggregator, boys and girls, means, and I'm going to get kind of condescending here, means that they take reviews from around the internet of people who are qualified reviewers,
mm-hmm.
so not bloggers. Johnny and I are not on Rotten Tomatoes. We are not necessarily qualified reviewers. We just share our opinions.
I call
with you.
Bullshit on that.
Anyway,
I could say that.
You could be.
Yeah.
But like, we don't write for a publication that is recognized by Rotten Tomatoes as
well.
You know,
Rotten Tomatoes is taking stuff from like Bleeding Cool,
yeah.
and stuff from BuzzFeed and stuff from, you know, all those
right.
like New York Times and everything like that. Anything that is a published.
ScienceFiction.com, that
yeah.
kind of stuff, right?
Well, do they count as
yeah,
a
they are. Yeah. So Ben, really? Ben and Dave are both on there.
Okay.
All right. Now, the thing is they take and they look at what the sentiment of that review is, positive or negative,
mm-hmm.
and they rate that. And they say, yes, it's positive or no, it's negative.
They're rating reviews.
They are rating reviews.
Right.
And, but they don't say, it's not like, it's but it's an all or nothing thing, right?
Well,
it's
right.
It's either a fresh or rotten review.
They're doing a averages.
Right. Now,
no, it's kind of like a sports, you know, sports thing on any kind of player or anything. You take the averages of the positives and the negatives, and this is what the player might do this year.
Right.
And that's what Rotten Tomatoes is doing. They are doing the idea of this person really liked this movie. This person didn't like this movie. And this person was on the fence.
Now,
and then it's like
right.
that equals out to what? Like 3 tomatoes.
Right.
Yeah.
So the other thing that they do is they do fan rating. And that's what the sentiment of the fans are who have seen the movie.
Do they combine that with the rating of the journalist, though?
No, it's two
okay.
separate
okay. Well,
things.
See, there,
so
yeah.
there's the journalist rating
right.
and there's the fan rating. Almost universally, the fan rating is 1 or 2 points higher than the journalist rating.
Right.
And sometimes way more.
Yeah.
There are exceptions where sure. critics love a movie, like the Darren Aronofsky with Javier Bardem and Jennifer Lawrence.
Mother or something like that.
Like, critics love that movie. Fans hated that movie.
Right.
Like, it was, okay. you know, so it was the
yeah,
opposite.
Sure.
And so those things
but
happen.
But you also but, have to think of the averages of how many critics went to see that movie compared to how many people
well,
went to
absolutely.
See
absolutely. And part of the reason people didn't go see that movie is because fan word of mouth was so bad.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Now, where the problem comes in here is they're feeding the troll, right? They're saying, you know what, we're tired of hearing that we're pro this, pro that, anti this, anti that. So we're not even going to give you the option to complain about it. We're just going to release the views the day of the reviews the day of the movie, the
Fair
score
enough.
The day of the movie. But it's not because Thor started having reviews written 2-3 weeks before the movie came out.
It came out in other countries before it came out here.
Well, but with all the press, like the review embargo
yeah.
was lifted 3 weeks before Thor came out.
Okay.
The review embargo for DC was lifted last night, 11:50 p.m.
All right.
So, like, they should be now aggregating that score, not waiting a day,
mm-hmm.
not waiting, or well, in this case, 2 more days
right.
to do it. So instead, they're pandering to Warner Brothers. Like, that's my problem right there. They're saying, you know, or they're pandering to these trolls who are like, oh, you're anti-DCEU.
Yeah, I guess.
And so it's just, we were just talking about journalistic integrity, right?
Yeah.
Like, it screams
but
of.
But there's where you're wrong, because they are not a journalist.
They are not.
They're not journalists.
But
they are just
they
an
are,
aggregator.
But they are showing favoritism to a studio now,
are
which
they
have never done before.
Are they?
They've never done it before. This is so
have
this
they
is
come
the
out
problem.
And said they're doing
this
that?
Is it? Yeah. It's
no. I mean, have they said we're doing this for Warner Brothers
for this one movie? Yes.
They're doing it for a movie just yeah. because they don't want to listen to people bitch and moan that they're against Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
They're not against Warner Brothers. They are an aggregator. They are just people that are taking statistics and putting them together.
I get it. So
yeah, they're not
journalists. I love Rotten
Tomatoes. They're statisticians.
I have a Rotten Tomatoes shirt that I wear that I love. You know, it's you know one of my favorite websites. I enjoy going to it. I check it constantly for different things.
I don't.
Well, you don't have to anyway.
Right.
But so this is just what bothers me. You know, it's. I just hope we don't see more of this where maybe studios can be like, hey, you know, we don't want our reviews to be out until the day of.
The studios can say that, though.
But
that's what the whole thing is of an embargo.
Well but that's the embargo side
right.
of things, right? But going to Rotten Tomatoes and be like, hey, we don't want you to rate this movie until after it's come out.
But they're not rating it, really.
Well, but they certify it. That's the thing. They either certify it fresh or rotten.
They can certify it fresh or rotten, but they could do that a week after the movie came out, too.
It's usually never certified fresh or rotten in the opening weekend anyway. It's usually after.
Yeah.
But I don't know. This just bothers me.
I mean, they put it on Blu-rays and DVDs now, and I'm like, who gives a shit? Who really gives a shit? I don't.
I mean, it's on, like, if you go through, like, the Google Play, iTunes, that kind of stuff. If it's certified fresh, it's on there. Yeah. There are people who care about that.
Yeah.
So.
But it's just a statistician thing.
Yeah.
I could start my own Rotten Tomatoes.
You
could.
And
just go through and look at every review and decide on, oh, they really liked it, they really didn't. You're just taking statistics and putting them together.
Right.
But people are like, you know, do the research yourself.
It's like Moneyball.
Yeah.
So at this
But
point.
It's just do the research yourself.
Yeah.
Why listen to a statistics webpage when you can look at reviews and say,
but they have I don't want to go. Like, right, you can read all of the reviews.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
But you have to remember, too, it started in a time where, you know, reading anything other than the New York Times, the Chicago Tribune, the LA Times was really hard to do.
Yeah.
You know, like, you couldn't live in New York and read Margaret McGurk's review in the Inquirer in the 90s, you know?
Yeah.
Or you were stuck with, in Cincinnati, only reading Margaret McGurk's, you know, reviews because, you know, there were things that she liked that weren't very good. And, you know, there were a lot of times there were really good movies that she would pan for whatever reason.
Sure.
You know? So, but it's also super subjective. So they're just trying to add a bit of objectivity to it. And then when they go and do something like this, they remove that air of objectivity, in my opinion. Anyway.
I never looked at a statistician website as being a journalism website. It's not.
Well,
they're just taking journalism and turning it into statistics.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Cool. I don't know. I just felt like I needed to.
I mean, if reviewers were like, we're not going to put out our reviews until the movie's out. It's like if you're told not to. Or there were no review screenings. Okay.
Yeah.
Fine. But if you did a review screening and you didn't put it out, then I'd question your journalistic integrity.
Right.
But if you're going and you're press and, like, we had press last night at that at the Justice League thing. And it's like, you know, they were there. They were watching it from their point of view.
Yeah.
And they'll put out a review today, I'm sure. And, you know, positive or negative. You decide.
Right.
But in the end, you decide on if you're going to go see a movie or not.
Right.
You're going to decide on if you're going to go see it two or three times.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the whole thing, is like, people's opinions count but don't count. And especially when it's somebody who's getting paid to go see that movie.
Right.
You know? I didn't get paid to go see that movie.
No. We got to see it for free.
Well, yeah.
But, you know, still,
but
yeah,
I didn't get paid.
We weren't paid.
I weren't paid. I wasn't paid by, you know, the Cincinnati Enquirer or BuzzFeed or anybody like that to go see this movie.
Or the Infamous Podcast.
Yeah, or the Infamous Podcast. I'm not paid by the Infamous Podcast.
Anyway.
Still waiting for that check.
All right. Cool. So that's the news for this week. Interesting stuff. Like, you know, some good, some bad. Excited about Thrawn in February.
Yeah.
So, all right. Let's talk about our road trip.
Sure.
So we don't have to talk a whole lot about this, but I just kind of want to share my experience with my first trip to.
Because I've talked about Kokomo Toys on here
you have.
Multiple times, and
you've talked to me about it multiple times and been like, "Ha, I've been and you haven't." So
no, I've never done that.
I know.
you know where Kokomo is. You
I
could
know.
Drive there. Anytime,
I absolutely could.
Right?
Yeah.
I've driven there by myself before, so you know.
You know when I would drive.
But I've been
there
going. Before. I've been going to Kokomo Toys
2 or 3 years now.
Oh no!
Is it longer?
No, it's been longer than that since they were in their garage.
Well, that's right.
So it's been probably close to 10 years, off and on, that I've been going. I've gone at least once every year for the last 5 years.
Okay.
To Kokomo Toys.
So it's a toy shop in Kokomo, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I had so much fun there.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing. It's such a cool shop. The people who run it are so nice.
Yes.
But their selection is just unmatched.
They are the best toy store in this area.
Yeah.
In this, like, you
part
know,
of the country.
Yeah. I'd say I've been, two or three other ones that are good, but they are the best.
So I mean, the Star Wars selection, the G.I. Joe selection, the Transformers selection was way more than I expected.
Oh yeah.
And
well, imagine, like, you went into a giant shop.
Right.
So the garage was a two-car garage. I mean, it was literally what could be considered a two-car garage. I think what they, the story they told me was that there used to be, I forget if it was a roller rink next door to the house, that they lived in the house and they ran the store out of this little garage. And you probably still can find the pictures online somewhere. But I think they told me that it was either a roller rink or a bowling alley that was next door, and that garage was used as to a repair shop for that place. So it was just a small little garage. Yeah. I mean, and literally I couldn't walk down, and I had to walk sideways down aisles and that. But I mean, that selection that you've seen there, a lot of that was in that little store.
Right.
Little store. And that, and you know, like you said, ever since I first went there, you're very welcome.
Yeah.
You're part of the family.
Yeah.
You feel like you're part of the family when you walk in the door.
Yeah.
And I mean, they're very open and nice and happy, and you know, that's what you want. And they're like, you know, for being an independent toy store, since they've moved into this bigger place, which is in downtown Kokomo now, in the downtown district, and you know, it's on a what they call Geek Street. There's a comic book store, a record store.
Comic Cube was great too. But a tiny little comic shop, but it was still really nice.
That ever since they've been there, it's like their business has increased.
Yeah,
their popularity has increased, and that. But they, I mean, they used to, like in the summertime, they would have a G.I. Joe gathering up there where they would put like 10 or 15 flags out on the front driveway. Cool. And like literally it was like a fleet of USS flags.
Yeah.
And that. So it was, they've been interactive in the community forever, in the fan community forever.
Cool.
And that. And I mean, just their customer service is something that people should go look at.
Yeah. Like, I'll be honest, when I walked in, I was overwhelmed at first.
Well, right. Yeah. Yeah. It's literally like, you know, walking into that store is one of those things where I tell people that go there for the first time, I'm like, you need to just take a breath when you walk in.
I just kind of walked up and down the aisles at first, looking up and down. Like at first I wasn't even sure I was going to get anything because I saw so much that I wanted.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I don't think I can.
If you're a collector and you say, I'm not going to buy anything when I go in here, I call nonsense.
Well, it wasn't like I didn't walk in and say I'm not going to buy anything. Well, right, but as I was walking through,
I don't know if I'm buying anything
because they had that the Scrooge McDuck and the blue Funko figures, which had just come out.
Disney Afternoon figures.
And I ended up getting Scrooge.
Sure,
but honestly, like you found the Aang and Sokka Avatar: The Last Airbender figures that I didn't even know were a thing.
I didn't know they were a thing
because I didn't neither one of us watched Avatar when it was on live.
Right.
So.
But I didn't know they made action figures.
I didn't either.
Unless they were like at McDonald's or something.
They're really interesting too. Like the parts of the clothes that hang down.
Right.
It looks like soft goods, but it's not. It's like this rubberized thing.
It's kind of like what Art Asylum used to do with the Star Trek. Where
but it's not like the rubber on the...
it's like a soft rubber. Yeah, it's like a fabric kind of rubber.
Yeah, kind of fabric-y. It's tacky. Yeah. It's a little tacky. Yeah. But they're really cool figures. The articulation is great. Sokka's a little loose in all of his joints.
Well, sure,
I mean, but it's probably
the cool thing
is
there's
10 year old figure.
They have everything sectioned out there, and there's a section where it's just random action figures, and you just have to go through every single peg and look. And I just happen to come across Airbender figures.
Like they had the DC Icons Firestorm.
Yeah.
I almost grabbed that one.
Looser?
No, it was in the same package. Okay. I think it was $25. I thought that was a good price. Sure. I got a bunch of the, Gene Tartakovsky. I never pronounce this right.
What?
The
Genity?
Clone Wars. Genity.
Yeah.
Tartakovsky?
Yeah. Tartakovsky.
Tartakovsky. Clone Wars figures, which I've been trying to track back down or trying to track down for the first time. So I have the entire set now except for two.
Mm-hmm.
So
that'd be easy.
Well, and you know, Buzz has the other two. So
well, and then you've got to get the variations of colors on the clone troopers and blah 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 blah.
Anyway, but but I mean, they were $5
and the three
each.
Packs and blah 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 blah.
But they were $5 each.
Sure.
Like
you
know, everywhere else I've seen them, they've been like $15 and or like Saturday Morning Heroes, I paid $2 for them loose.
Sure, and the thing about it is, and that's the cool thing there is, there's a lot of stuff on cards. There's a lot of stuff loose, and if you're just looking to buy a figure loose. And they have it on the card. They probably have it loose, too.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they have a lot of stuff. It is overwhelming. They have a lot of vintage Star Wars. They have a lot of vintage Transformers, Joes,
I mean,
Turtles.
Going down that left side of the store where the Star Wars, the vintage Star Wars stuff is,
yeah.
I mean, I probably spend a good like half hour just like
looking. It's as much of a museum as it is a retail outlet. If you just want to see what those toys look like, it's a good place to go look. You will buy something.
Yeah.
I mean, you will.
Like, I love the aesthetic. I love the wood. I love the wood floor. I like how it's a little uneven because it's an older building.
Yep.
Are they going to open that upstairs up at some point?
They live up there.
I believe they live up there. Because there was like a Greedo, and I took a picture. But there's still room for them to grow.
It was a business.
Yeah.
Like, you know, an old business. And when they came in, it was just a shell. I mean, you know, the floors were there and, you know, the upstairs. The
floors and walls. And
I think it might have been a hotel upstairs at one point. But, like, you know, that's the thing is I'd like them to do is, like, on their website, put the story of the building.
Yeah.
And that way, you know, like, people could be like, oh, cool. Because I talked to her one time when it actually wasn't busy in there on, like, a weekday.
Yeah.
And she told me, like, you know, that it had been, I'm pretty sure, a hotel upstairs. And they were, like, you know, gutting it and... because it was bad. So
speaking of their website, it's kokomotoys.com. Just so people know, and you can go check it out.
And if you want to buy stuff from their eBay, they pretty much have like all their new stuff, like, you know, the Funko stuff and that is on there and that, but you really got to go into the store. And if you're a pop collector, they have some of the best prices on pops,
like $8.
And
they were, you know, good
and
pops.
They run sales sometimes.
Yeah, and they're in good shape. They had the 3-pack of the Donald, Mickey, and Sorka. No, not Sorka. From Kingdom Hearts.
Sora. Yeah.
Thank you. I call him Sorka the Dorka when Angel plays it.
Okay.
So Sora with the Tron variation.
Yeah.
The 3-pack, which was pretty cool.
Which was one variant I almost bought.
Like, I almost grabbed that because I really like that set.
Yeah.
But
I mean, you know, they follow them on Facebook, follow them on, I think they're on Instagram, but they're,
their Instagram's really good.
I don't know if they're on Twitter yet.
I don't know.
But, you know, we'll put all the links in the notes.
But and then we went to the Toy Pit, which I totally want to go back there too.
Sure, yeah.
And like, I think I'd like to go there first before going to,
that's what we did the last, that's
before
what we
going
did in
to
May.
Kokomo, because digging through.
Yeah.
All the...
Well, it's like, literally that, that
it is,
one
it
you
is
could
literally
just go there
a toy
and just
pit.
Dig through. You know? And like I told you before, it was controlled chaos.
Yeah.
It literally like is controlled chaos where if you were OCD, like super OCD and went in this place, you'd have to leave.
Yeah.
You would literally have to leave.
But those guys who run it are great. They were super nice. Yeah. I was talking to one of the owners. He mods out figures and stuff like
that.
Yeah. He was just kind of asking, you know, because I bought a couple Black Series figures there for really... Like,
oh, yeah, their prices
are Sabine
really good.
And a second Ahsoka. A second Sabine, too. For like $30.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was pretty exciting.
Yeah, I picked up FN2187 and.
You got Django.
Django.
Which is one. I almost got that one, but I said, I let you get it.
I already had it, but you could have got it.
I know, I know, but like, I don't know. I'll find him
for $20 a piece. I mean, you're paying retail for him, and it's like, okay.
I paid 20, and
but I mean, like,
Ahsoka
they do a really good deal with like older Star Wars card figures where they have sales of different variations. Like this time it was what, buy two get one or something.
No, if you buy a $5 figure, you get a $5 figure free.
Okay,
and so buy
was
one,
it
get
buy one.
One
get one?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was buy two, get one, but, you know, the last time I went, it was, you know, a different deal.
Right.
But they do different deals on the Star Wars figures because they have a lot of Star Wars figures. But, I mean, the store itself is impressive. Lots of Toy Biz, Marvel Legends.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you really have to look there. Kokomo, everything's pretty much in sections. But
So if you think of it, like, Kokomo is... like, of the Odd Couple, it's, Felix?
Felix.
And then
Toy Pits Oscar.
Toy Pits Oscar.
That's a good way of putting it.
It's the best way to think about that.
Compared to going in May and going this time,
yeah,
they were a little bit more organized.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, but I was still like,
well, there's
that
kind of section.
What's cool
out.
Is there's that center alley where they actually put the totes of just random figures, no weapons, maybe no body armor on some of them. And
no arms
where you just go through and you can pick out stuff. And it's the mod thing. It's for modding and stuff like that. But I mean, it's literally like just you could stand there and go through a tote for 2 hours and find like figures in that. But, you know.
I think I'd like to do that trip again.
Yeah.
But go to the Toy Pit first and then Kokomo. Just because I just, you know, I think being not full of KFC would have been
We ate good and
We did. But yeah, and hey, thanks to Tom for driving.
Yeah.
Thanks to Casey for putting it all together, and it was awesome hanging out with Billy and
Casey
Roger.
And Johnny put it all together.
Well, you know. I can't give you credit.
Oh, you have to give me credit. Well, it was what? Three out of the six had never been there. Six people went.
I thought it was just me and Rod. Had Billy never been there?
Billy never been there.
Oh, yeah. So
Roger
had
never been
there,
and you had never been there. So it was like, you know, three out of the six had never been there. And, it, you know, it's just fun to watch people go in there and be like, holy.
Like,
they weren't as busy as the last time I went. So I was like, oh, cool. I can just like relax and not be in anybody's way, and you know,
I don't think I even said a word for the first half hour I was in.
Yeah, well, at one point I went looking for you, and I was like, "Has anybody seen Brian?" It's like, "Did he leave?" Because I was like, "Where is he?" And it's like, it's not an easy store to get lost in. But
well,
it was like
over and looking at all the pops.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
You know, I was looking through all the DC figures because you know, as much as I like the current Marvel line of stuff, like the DC Direct, the DC Icon, the DC Heroes stuff, like.
They do some nice figures.
That is still the figures I like to buy the best. And, you know, I was going through, like, I almost got the Killer Croc from the Batman the Animated Series because I didn't get that from Jeff.
Sure.
There was Firefly. I didn't get that one from Jeff either.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, you know, but he has those on his wall, too. So.
Well, it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, for me going there, it's a mixture of buying vintage and buying new stuff because I found stuff that had just come out, and it's like, oh, well, it's here.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Yeah, like the Scrooge in the Blue. Right?
The Scrooge in the Blue, Mohawk Gremlin.
Yeah. Oh, you did get that.
I did get the Mohawk Gremlin.
Nice.
If you want to see what I got, go on my Instagram page. Yeah. It's all on there.
Mine, too, and I copy Johnny's aesthetic of sharing
Mall
my
suits
hall
are
pictures.
Coming.
Boy, it's such a good idea. Like, you know, and have a nice white staircase. Everything
well,
just kind of pops.
I'm like, it took this long somebody to copy me. And I'm like... Man,
well, you
doing
suggested
it
one time. You said you should
I'm like,
just do
you got,
it on the
you
steps.
Got steps. It's like, but I've been doing it for years.
You have,
and I'm
you
like,
have.
You know, I go back and look at the pictures and I'm like, wow, I have been doing this for a long time.
I can go back through my texts, which I only keep for the last 3 months.
Yeah.
And I have at least 15 pictures of your staircase.
Well, and it's usually like, and that's the one thing that I always get from her is, I'm glad I vacuumed that staircase. And I'm like, well, you know.
Well,
it's a good way to display a lot.
Yeah,
like anybody who has a nice staircase at their house, if you want to take a picture, like you know, screw the shelfie, do the stairy.
Yeah, stairy. I like it. Hashtag stairy.
Yeah, copyright.
TM.
But yeah, it's fun and it's a fun place to go. Even going by yourself, it's fun because you literally I spent. And it was the old store. I spent like 4 hours in there one time just looking at stuff. And it's like, as much as it is a place to buy stuff, and I do say if you go there, buy something because it's a small business and you should support small businesses.
Absolutely.
Walk around. It's like a museum.
I kind of want to go and walk around downtown Kokomo, too. That was an interesting place.
Yeah, it's an interesting little place.
But, all right. So, yeah. So, KokomoToys.com. They're
on
Facebook.
We totally didn't go see the grasshopper. We should have went and seen the grasshopper.
The grasshopper?
There's a giant grasshopper.
Cool.
Giant grasshopper. I'm pretty sure it's a grasshopper. A manta. Maybe it's a manta.
A manta.
Yeah.
A black manta?
Nah. No. Praying mantis is what it is.
All right. So, yeah. Kokomo Toys. It's awesome.
All right. Now, the 5-minute Justice League review.
All right. I actually wrote down notes when I got home last night.
Non-spoilery notes?
Yeah. So, just kind of, I'm gonna start with what I didn't like first, because I want to end this on a positive note.
Okay.
Because there's definitely more that I liked than I didn't like, and I'm gonna start this review by saying, like, I have been super critical of DC
mm-hmm.
in the movies.
Yeah.
Probably even a little more so than you, but it's because DC is my preferred comic book company.
Sure.
I feel like they're letting me down on the comics. Things are turning around with Rebirth. There's some cool stuff going on. I guess it's not even really Rebirth anymore. It's just continuity. But I expect so much more, because it's what I've always collected the most
sure.
of. Whereas, like, even the Marvel movies, I don't have super high expectations going into any of them.
Right.
Because, one, at this point, we're 17 movies in. I know what I'm going to get.
I think some of them are more, like, you know, set a standard than others.
Yeah.
And it's because of who they get to direct them now, because
right.
they've had returning directors.
Mm-hmm.
And,
but
yeah, that sets a standard, a different kind of standard.
But I also feel like Jon Favreau
mm-hmm.
set the tone for the universe with Iron Man.
Yeah.
Iron Man 1.
Right.
So much better than Zack Snyder did with Man of Steel.
Yes, I'd agree with that.
So,
yeah.
So, like, I don't feel like Jon Favreau gets enough credit for the success of the Marvel Universe, Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
I feel like Joss Whedon gets a little too much credit for the Avengers movies that don't really hold up. Like,
especially Age of Ultron.
Well, Age of Ultron's a
dumpster fire. I could watch the first Avengers movie multiple times in a day.
Yeah.
Where Age of Ultron, I don't want to watch.
So the first Avengers movie is good.
Sun's going down. Sun's going down.
Sun's going down, big guy. Sun's going down. I like when he's patting him on the shoulder.
Yeah.
Sun's going down.
Sun's going down.
Why do you keep saying that? But I did like when he lulled him into the false sense of security and then punched
yeah.
him across the arena.
Yeah.
All right. Go see Thor Ragnarok. And go back to last week's review for Thor Ragnarok. I think the way they started with Superman,
the Man of Steel,
with Man of Steel was the Dr. Manhattan-y Batman version of Superman,
yeah,
with the
yeah.
darkness and the brooding and the
no smiling,
the whining.
Yeah.
You know, it was like Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man, a lot of whining.
And Tobey Maguire's, really.
Well, yeah, but that's Tobey Maguire. But so I the things that I didn't like, I didn't like the idea that the Amazons thought they could protect the Mother Box after the Atlanteans had not been, they didn't have truce with Atlantis anymore.
Yeah.
The gods were gone.
Right.
Men, the land, the realm of man, not just men, but the realm of man was no longer helping them.
Yeah.
That they thought they could defend this with bows and arrows. And
that's what they know.
I know. It was just like, just the hubris
there.
You've
seen the same thing in
yeah.
Wonder Woman, though. I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Were they even Germans?
Yeah, they were Germans.
Yeah.
They might have been Ottomans.
Prussians?
Yeah.
Prussians. So. They probably were Prussians.
That would be...
It was World War One.
Yeah. Oh, Prussians. I thought you said
yeah.
Persians.
Prussians.
Yeah, Prussians.
Yeah.
But
I mean, even that, where they were fighting them with bows and arrows and they had guns, it's, you know... But it's what they know, because that's what they're... They haven't left the island.
For
they
me,
don't know
it,
that
it's the,
progressed.
It's the, like, you know, the hubris of
mm-hmm.
the Amazons kind of was like...
But they fought them with that before,
yeah,
like when they showed the...
But they also had, you know...
They had backup.
They had the gods there. Like,
right.
the Amazons were not the overwhelming force that
right.
drew them back, you know?
That's Hippolyta, though.
That's
Hippolyta's hubris, as you say.
Connie Nielsen kills it as Hippolyta.
Oh, yeah.
She's
really awesome.
She's so good.
They cast that really well.
And then before going in, I saw some picture that was like comparing the Wonder Woman costumes of the Amazons to the Justice League.
Yeah.
Where like the Justice League one, it had them more like the 300 with like, you know, not a whole lot of clothes covering them up.
Right.
But that wasn't the case in the movie. They were in like plate.
Oh, they were in their armor.
There were a couple like
Where
you saw like their midriff type thing, but like
the
they were
ones
like,
who were guarding the
yeah.
box were just there. They're
yeah.
sentinels. You know, they weren't. They're not warriors.
Right.
They're not the elite. They're just guards.
Right.
So some of them were like, you know, Straight up just wearing their Xena costumes.
Yeah, just regular, you know? Like, yeah. Roman, Greek,
well, I mean,
you know,
I look back to Xena at this point as a reference for any of these
Amazon-type costumes
yeah. because Xena had a very streamlined costume.
Yeah.
But Gabrielle sometimes was, like, midriff, you know, and it's like, gee, yeah. you could get stabbed right there.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, but that's not the way they did it. And looking at what they were dealing with fighting Steppenwolf at the beginning, this is the beginning of the movie. It's not really like a spoiler. Those were just guards.
Yeah.
When the elite showed up, it was like straight up like armored helmets, you know, riding over the hills. And I was like, holy moly.
So my other problem is the end of that battle.
Yeah.
When the actual like force arrives, what took them so long?
Well, she said go, you know, go, because it's like, they didn't even know what was happening at that
point.
Why
would you hide
that? They didn't
know
that Loki was showing up at that point.
why would you hide that?
I was like, some of the beats for this movie were straight up the beats for Avengers.
Yeah.
Like, when Steppenwolf shows up the first time, it's the same beat as Loki showing up, except Sam Jackson and Stellan Skarsgård aren't standing there.
It's 50 Amazons,
and it's like nobody's looking around like, who are you? They're all ready to, like, literally the battle's on as soon as he shows up, and I'm like,
yeah,
you know, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Always nice to see the Amazons fighting.
And you know, their fighting was cool. Like, I'm a sucker for horseback.
Did you catch Artemis was in there?
Yeah. So I'll get to this at the end, but, all right. So the second thing is I felt like the CG.
That's a spoiler is I'm getting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The CG in this movie is really uneven.
Some of it felt rushed.
Some of it like looks like you could do it on your home PC. Cyborg CG in particular was not good.
Really?
He looked like Megatron.
I don't know.
And there's something that they do at the end with him that I don't know why they just didn't get to quicker.
Because it's like I said, of all the characters in the movie, he's evolving. His powers, his power set, his, you know, what he is evolving throughout the movie. He's literally like a Frankenstein monster at the beginning.
Yeah. I know nothing about Ray Fisher. Like, yeah. I don't know anything. I know he comes from Broadway. I don't know if he's done any other movies.
I thought he was really good.
He killed it.
Yeah.
All right. So there's that. The mugging for the camera, the little like smiles.
Oh.
Like, that's the Joss Whedon thing.
Yeah.
Because that's what the Scoobies did in Buffy, and that's what the Angel Gang did in Angel, and that's what the Firefly Gang did in Firefly.
So you felt like that was Joss Whedon's
contribution? That was a Joss Whedon thing where, like, they'd look and, like, smile at each other from across the battlefield, and it's like, you just completely interrupted an amazing action beat to focus on Gal Gadot's very beautiful face with a shit-eating grin.
Right.
You know, it's like, I think if you go and you cut those few bits out.
Sure. But I mean, for me, I wasn't like that. You were a little bit more nitpicky than
me. Well, it just took me out of scenes because like I got really invested in this movie.
Sure.
Like I definitely enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that. The Wonder Woman fight scene in London
was pretty awesome.
They need to cut that like slow-mo to speed up thing out. Like, When she ran across the people, like that was the best part of that,
right? Yeah,
but like the rest of it was just too frenetic and like I don't know. But the fact that Roose Bolton was there was really cool.
Yeah,
I really wanted him to fillet someone living, but it didn't happen. But that's kind of where my problems end. You know. I think I don't want to see an Ezra Miller standalone Flash movie, and I don't want to see a Cyborg standalone movie. I want the two of them in a team-up movie.
Teen Titans.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't even have to be Teen Titans.
Well, I mean, but it's...
But I think their chemistry was so good.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, that's the thing I liked most, is the League chemistry. Everyone just kind of fit together.
In
a way where... like, Jason Momoa did way better than I thought he would do. Although, I will say, and this is a little spoilery, but not too much, what you see in the trailers, there's not a whole lot more to Aquaman. than what you see in the trailers.
Yes and no.
The Atlantis scene was amazing.
There's a lot more because that Atlantis scene is like the one thing where it's like you get an idea of this Aquaman and why he is the way he is. Right. And, you know, he's younger.
Yeah.
I mean, he's, you know, of all the leaguers, it's like, you know, he's been around for a while and doing his thing and that, but he's young.
Yeah.
He even says it one time. I'm young. Yeah.
That scene, right? That was a Joss Whedon scene that I did enjoy. Is when he was.
How do you know which are the Joss Whedon scenes? I mean, it's not like it popped up on the screen. Joss Whedon.
I'm conjecturing.
Yeah.
So, like, because
you don't think that was written already?
No, I do not. I think that was one of the rewrites.
Yeah, maybe.
Because that's not like you can go back and look at all of Zack Snyder's movies.
I said it to Elva this morning. I think that. What we've seen a lot of was Zack Snyder.
Yeah.
Because I think what happened was Wonder Woman was being made. Zack Snyder's there.
Yeah,
he's a producer. So he's seeing the dailies. Mm-hmm. And I literally said at one moment he probably was sitting there and went, oh, shit. And had to
Why didn't I do that? Yeah.
Well, and it had to go. Well, we got to go.
Part of the reshoots,
we got to go fix. We got to go fix this.
So,
And then he had personal things happen at the same time. Right. And it's like, I don't think Joss Whedon really rewrote anything. I think he just came in and
touched things up.
You know.
Well, he obviously rewrote enough to get screenplay credit.
I think that was part where they were like, well, we're not going to give you a director credit, so we'll give you this.
Well, but so Warner Brothers doesn't decide that. The Directors Guild and the Writers Guild decide who gets credit.
But you
have to rewrite a certain amount of the movie.
That's the thing. Is like, so, how much did he rewrite that the movie... Was he only worked on it like what in May?
He worked on it for like 6 or 8 weeks.
Yeah, so, but I mean, it's like, you know, I think he was more editing than he was rewriting. You know.
So the other thing,
and he probably doesn't have an editor PGA. So
is at this point, or for this movie, at no point does it feel like two different movies, like Suicide Squad.
Oh, the whole where they went back and re-edited the whole movie,
you know, kind of that. Because you know, I mean, they cut this movie down. It's 2 hours. And it's fast.
So do you think that Warner Brothers, they don't have to do like the director's cut of this movie?
I don't need to see another Suicide Squad David Ayer. There needs to be the David Ayer's cut.
Right,
of like, this is what David Ayer shot.
Right.
This is the ending, because I don't think the ending is what David Ayer's had in mind. I also don't think the way Enchantress was used is how he had in mind either. But at no point in this movie is it like, oh, you know, this is where Warner Brothers like dug their, you know, grubby little mitts in and kind of started messing with story.
No, it doesn't feel like that happened at all.
And that was my biggest concern going in, that it's going to feel like two different movies. All right. So everyone talks about the tone of these movies and how like, oh, they're too dark. Tone. The tone of Marvel versus the tone of DC. The trailers did not do the tone of this movie justice.
The trailers, and this is where we won't spoil it, the trailers leave out the stuff that they have to leave out,
right?
Because this story has a certain twist to it that has to be left out.
But the majority of this movie happens outside in the daylight for the most part.
Oh yeah.
And
the darkest scene in the movie is probably Atlantis,
Gotham. Like some of the stuff in Gotham,
when Batman is doing what he's doing in Gotham,
yeah,
there's a lot of light.
Yeah, you see a lot.
Yeah,
that opening
literally
scene with
him. Atlantis was shot dark because it's in the ocean.
Yeah.
And they literally got the atmosphere right. Even though some of the effects in that scene were murky.
Right.
The effect of, it's not bright down at the bottom of the ocean.
No.
They acknowledge that really well. So, I mean, that and probably the first real fight scene we see with the Justice League.
Yeah.
And they're underground. I mean, so it's like, you know,
they're under the Bay of Gotham.
Right.
But that opening scene with Holt McElhinney, or however you say his last name.
Holt McNally.
Yeah. Was great. And it was awesome to see him.
You know who that was, don't you? I don't know if he even had a name.
Who do you think it was?
I want to guess that's Clue Master.
Huh.
Yeah, he was a thief.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, and it's like,
and so it's opening up for spoiler.
Why would you throw somebody in unless he's friends with Zack Snyder or something? Why would you throw somebody like that in there
and
not have it where he might be showing up later on?
Yeah. Because, I mean, we just talked about him a couple weeks ago in Mindhunter. And then here he pops up in Justice League, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I purposely didn't look at the IMDb to see who was in this or anything like
right,
that.
Yeah.
But, you know, so there was that. I loved Superman in this movie.
Superman's in this movie?
Anyway, it's not a spoiler. He's in the
movie. No, it is, actually, because the way they shot that trailer with Superman in it, you thought that was a dream.
Yeah.
And it's like, that totally, like, you know, for people who haven't noticed, Superman is in this movie.
But I can't gush about this movie properly without talking about Superman, because this is the Superman we should have got from the beginning.
Like, yeah.
I actually, for the first time ever, see Henry Cavill as Superman, and I want Man of Steel 2 now. With him playing it like this.
But I don't think we're going to get Man of Steel.
We're absolutely not going to get Man of Steel 2. But when he...
We're going to get Superman A Quest for Peace 2.
When he is awake, and I'm not going to share how that happened or anything like that, the scene between him and Batman was so great.
Yeah.
And you know, him in the League was so great. And then it looked awesome. It felt awesome. It just, you know, he was like, the way he was talking through his teeth, like,
yeah,
you know, he was holding so much back.
Sure.
Because he could have just immediately just wiped them
obliterated
out,
Batman.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, just all of them. Like, right. You know, I mean, there was no standing up to him. But I loved it. I thought he was great. And then on the opposite side of that, I know we've only seen Ben Affleck twice as Batman, you know, technically.
Yeah.
You know, like seeing Batman be vulnerable and not 100% confident.
Right.
I want more of that.
Well, you want old Batman. That's literally, Batman. He's been doing this for 20 years.
Yeah.
Where everybody else is new.
Yeah.
Batman's been around for 20 years.
I mean, ironically,
I'm sure there's other ones in that. You know, movie universe that have been around, other heroes, because, I mean, obviously at the beginning when they show the DC symbol and there's like 100 superheroes standing
you've
there.
You've got the Ray, you've got Nightwing,
so
you've got like all these.
You acknowledge that there's probably like been heroes before, but Superman was out there so much that it's like now it's like they're going to be coming out of the woodwork.
I mean, like I'm still wearing it today, my Batman Beyond shirt. Like if Ben doesn't want to do it anymore, why not bring in Terry McGinnis at this point? You know, like kind of skip a bunch of steps. And then you could go back and they could do in-universe Batman movies with a younger Dick Grayson with, you know.
Right. But then it runs in. And I don't think Ben Affleck. I think this is just something that people want. So
well,
they keep.
He said he's.
The problem is Ben Affleck's got a lot of stuff going on personally, you know.
Well.
That he's dealing with. And it's one of those things where he doesn't know.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't know day to day how he, like, I don't think his health's as well as people think it is.
Oh, I don't know about that. But.
Because he has addiction problems. He's had addiction problems forever. I mean, that's been around since the Kevin Smith days, like with alcohol and stuff like that. And, you know, so he's dealing with that and dealing with, you know, his relationship issues. So it's one of those things where it's like, do I really want to play Batman? Like, do I want to keep doing this?
Do I want to keep getting in this good of shape?
Well, it's that thing where it's like, you know, I think he's in good shape anyways. But I think, like, you know, it's just a matter of the physical and personal tolls that these movies take on these actors affects them
I mean,
in their minds.
He's a couple years older than you.
Yeah.
Like, he's not much older than you, maybe like 2 or 3 years.
And I'm totally looking at him like in this one. Like, last one, it wasn't like, you know, it got much Batman.
Right.
You know, and it was just, you know, at that point they were trying to really do old man Batman. But it's like in this one it was, you know, you've got the same pains I've got. You know, it's like he at a certain point when after the first fight and he's like, you know, stripping down the armor, and I'm like,
and he can't take it off.
It's like, it's like, well, okay, you're that Batman.
Yeah,
you're that middle aged 45 year old, been doing this for 20 years. Mm-hmm. That's the Batman that I wish was in the comic books,
right?
You know, not the invincible Batman,
right?
And it's like, you know, every once in a while, I have a severe, like, his back was so bruised up at that point that I was like,
well, his shoulder was out, and like, you know, like, Superman did a number on him.
Yeah. But I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I got you. I got your feeling, you know?
I think this was my favorite outing as Amy Adams as Lois Lane yet.
Yeah.
I think she played the beats she had. And what she was given to work with, she was given a lot of, like, meaty stuff to work with.
Sure, yeah.
And she, I mean, she's a great actress, so she crushed it. Diane Lane, like, I kind of bought her as Ma Kent for the first time.
Really?
Yeah.
I've always, like, felt like she was a good Ma Kent.
Yeah.
You know.
It wasn't that she's not a good Ma Kent. I didn't necessarily enjoy the interpretation the script had of Ma Kent. Right. Like, again, like, Diane Lane is a fabulous actress.
Right.
You know, Ezra Miller was good. I don't necessarily think, for me, he didn't steal the show.
No, I really think that Jason Momoa stole a lot of, like, the scenes he was in.
Yeah.
But Gal Gadot, this movie, like, a lot of the Gal Gadot and Ben Affleck interaction, I love the idea, and this has been an idea that's been around since Dwayne McDuffie's Justice League.
It's Batman and Wonder Woman.
Batman, Wonder Woman, like, relationship.
Yeah.
And it's a relationship where it could go romantic.
Yeah.
Or it could just stay platonic the way it is. And I'm like, the best part in that movie, and it's not a spoiler, is Alfred pretty much says, why aren't you dating her?
Yeah.
It's like, why haven't you made a move on her
yet? He doesn't come right out and say it like that, but it's, yeah.
It's the father-son relationship, it's where, like, he's like, you know, I'd like for you to have a kid before I die.
It's like, you know, the old elbow. Like, yeah. Hey.
But it's literally like, it was just, you know, that was an awesome thing to write in there and say, hey, you know, she's right there in front of you. It's not Catwoman or anything like that. It's like, she's right there in front of you and you like her.
Yeah.
And that was the thing. It's like, I'm like,
she's an ethics, like, appropriate.
That was so awesome that they put that in there, because I'm like, nobody, you know, it's been acknowledged over the years, but nothing like where it's like, hey, you know,
well, DC in the comics,
she's
were
single,
so,
you're single.
Yeah.
Hey.
The DC in the comics were so desperate to put Superman and Wonder Woman together as a couple
for years.
Yeah. And then they did it. And it's like, no, this doesn't work.
Right.
You know,
I just remember there was I think it was a Justice League America book where they actually did this thing where Batman kind of got something put into his brain, and it was the what if he married Wonder Woman type things, like different scenarios of different things,
like the Black Mercy or something.
It was it was kind of like the Black Mercy, where he, like, you know, went through the different scenarios of if he had gotten into a relationship with Wonder Woman, and different versions of it were awesome.
Yeah.
And then some of them went really dark.
Yeah.
And that, but I'm like, if anybody was to show up in the next Wonder Woman movie from this group, I would like it to be Batman.
Yeah.
But not Batman, Bruce Wayne.
Bruce
Wayne showing up, just, you know,
bringing her flowers,
help her
and
out.
Some chocolates.
No, not,
like,
that.
You know,
but I mean, like, if she needs somebody to talk to.
Yeah.
And it's not a father-daughter relationship.
She's older than him.
Yeah, it's just that whole, the respect, the two, and it's like, you know, I was like, yeah, at one point I'm like, yeah, this looks like it could go that way.
Like, I liked it when he said that one thing to her and she reacted poorly.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh.
Yeah.
Ow.
Shouldn't have done that. Yeah.
But, all right, so we're way over an hour, but,
Well, that's fine.
No, this is good. J.K. Simmons as Commissioner Gordon. I don't feel like we got enough, but I liked what I got.
Yeah.
Mance Rayder as Steppenwolf.
Yeah,
Steppenwolf,
I really enjoyed
some of
the secondary actors they had. Like, Amber Heard did a really good job as Mara for the few minutes she's in the movie.
So I wasn't even going to bring Mara up just because I didn't want to necessarily spoil, but I guess people know she's in the movie.
She was in the trailer. I mean,
I'm so excited to see her in Aquaman now.
Oh yeah,
like,
yeah.
One, wow, she looks great in the costume.
Yeah.
But she started to do that thing with the you know, because she's a sorceress of sorts. Like, she's a little more than a waterbender. you know.
Well, she was blasting water around there. Well,
she started when she started to kind of make the water spear,
right?
And it got interrupted. It's like, oh, I can't wait for more of that. And then I did really like when her and Aquaman had that conversation, and she kind of just like pushed the water out.
Yeah,
and like there we were, like kind of on dry land, but you know, 20,000 leagues under the sea.
Right.
That was cool.
J.K. Simmons was good. Joe Morton as Cyborg's father.
I always like seeing Joe Morton. I've been a big fan of Joe Morton.
This is the second time he's created a Terminator. Yeah. So.
Exactly.
I literally was sitting there like, he created a Terminator finally.
Like, do you remember that show Viper that was on NBC?
Yeah. Basically.
Where it was like the Knight Rider ripoff.
Yeah.
I liked him in that. I loved him in Eureka.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I liked him in Terminator stuff. I just, anytime Joe Morton shows up, I'm on board.
Yeah, with them and with Diane Lane and, you know, the
quote unquote elder statesmen of actors that were in the secondary roles in this movie were pretty freaking good.
Billy Crudup?
Yeah. I didn't know. I completely forgot he was in it as Barry's dad.
Yeah, he's Henry Allen in this one.
And, you know, it was one of those things where he was like, you need to do something with your life, kid.
And, all right.
You know, it was such a, it was those.
Yeah,
those
this Barry Allen is not the Barry Allen on the TV series, which thankfully they didn't do. So this Barry Allen is a different Barry Allen.
This is a different Barry Allen than I think we've ever gotten. Yeah. I think there's a little Wally West in him.
There's a little
more Wally West in him than I think maybe they intended. And maybe that was just Ezra Miller.
Well, I think that it was just the intention of doing a young man with these powers. And that I'd be curious to see how he got the powers, because it's not the same story.
Well,
because
he says, like...
Cyborg said,
you were struck by lightning.
That's the short version.
But the abridged version.
Yeah.
So,
stay for the credits. There's two after-credit things that are really awesome.
The mid-credit scene.
Yeah.
Pays off a total geek thing that was awesome. The end credit scene sets up the direction of this franchise.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just leaving it at that.
Yep.
All right.
Attention during the battle.
Oh, yeah.
The battle that's the Lord of the Rings part of the story about the mother boxes.
Yeah, I have that. The First War was one of my favorite things.
Pay attention to a lot of the stuff going on in there. That scene made me want to buy this.
They need to do that as a movie.
Like,
you know,
I don't know if that would be a great movie, but
or like an animated short or something like that.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Tell it from the point of view
of the gods is what I would do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The mention of the Kirby stuff in here is good.
Yeah.
You know, we just got a Kirby movie with Thor, which is the Kirbiest Kirby that's ever been on screen. But the mention of the new gods, the dark side stuff, like I feel like Batman v Superman tried to shoehorn like four movies into one.
Yeah.
Right. I feel like this one did it right.
Right.
I still don't know if it's the right choice not to introduce us to these characters first before doing the team up movie.
Well, like you said, you yourself would prefer not to see a Flash movie.
Yeah.
Or a Cyborg.
Standalone. Like, I'd like to, like,
but that's the thing is, like, then you're saying, you know, they should have done standalones.
But I think
they did the standalones that they needed to do. We didn't need a Batman movie.
No.
We've had Batman movies.
Everybody knows Batman.
Yeah.
So
we got our Wonder Woman movie before this. We needed that.
Right.
Because we needed to see her motivations of why. The whole thing with Wonder Woman in this movie is, and, you know, it's not a spoiler, Batman tells her, you need to be the leader.
Yeah.
You need to be the leader.
And this movie answered like a glaring plot hole that Wonder Woman created from from Batman versus Superman.
Yeah.
About where she's been for 100 years.
Yeah.
Because at the end of Wonder Woman, it was like, oh, it's all about love. And, you know, I'm going to protect these people. And then, you know, in BVS, nobody knew anything about her. She hadn't been seen.
Well, right. And it was because of what she's seen. She had PTSD as much as anybody else did. Yeah.
But that was really good.
You want my rating?
Yeah, give me your rating.
Give it a 7.5.
Okay.
Yeah.
I said a 7 last night. I'm sticking by that.
Yeah.
And
I'll say an eight. This was an eight.
So for me, like, so I've kind of reevaluated how I'm ranking movies nowadays.
Yeah.
And for me, a seven is really good.
Should we put a like a thing on the site of how our rating system works?
No.
So we can get aggregated.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. No, I think a 7 out of 10.
I gave Thor an 8, right?
I like Thor more than this.
Well, did I give Thor an 8 when we talked about it? So I seen Thor yesterday too.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed this as much as I enjoyed Thor second time around.
Okay.
And that second time around, I got to see things that I missed the first time around.
And there was a lot.
Yeah. And it's now, like, you know.
Like, I say a 7 out of 10, but the I think the bigger, like, thing is I'm going to pay to go see this again.
Okay.
So, and the...
I don't know if I will.
Yeah.
If I do, it might be just to go watch it
that's
without
what it is.
A lot of people in the theater. Yep. And that'll be a couple weeks from now.
Yeah, I'm not going to go this weekend.
I'll
to
go
see
before
it again.
Christmas break to see this again if I was going to go see it. And it would be like on a Tuesday.
I'll probably go like sometime after my birthday.
Yeah.
But then, you know, come the 15th, you know, it's Star Wars. So I'll probably see Star Wars the 15th and the 16th.
Star Wars.
And then over Christmas break, the kid and I will go see Star Wars for sure because that's kind of what we've been doing the last few years. But yeah, no, all in, definitely see this movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, if you haven't been a fan of the DC movies, go see this. Like,
I enjoyed this as much as I enjoyed Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
If you enjoyed Wonder Woman, you will enjoy this.
I like this way more than Wonder Woman.
Right.
I had a lot of problems with Wonder Woman just from a narrative perspective and just kind of the whole idea that they threw her in the middle of a war, you know, 80 years ago.
Yeah.
With characters that they wanted us to fall in love with that we're never going to see again.
Maybe.
You know, it's just... But if there's no Steve Trevor... Or if there's a Steve Trevor currently, we can't have Bruce and Diana.
Right.
You know, we can't have Bruce and Diana shippers. So, something to think about.
Yeah.
All right. Well, on that note, definitely, like I said, go see this. We saw it on like an IMAX type screen.
I guess, yeah.
Because it was the 100-foot wide, 3-story tall screen. Non-3D, I don't even know if it's in 3D.
I don't know.
If it is... See, just you'd probably.
I've been told
to see
Thor in 3D.
Yeah,
I've heard that it's really good in 3D. So, I mean, you know, if you like 3D,
I'm anti 3D. So,
yeah.
But yeah,
I've seen Force Awakens in 3D, and that was an experience.
Yeah,
that's its own experience.
Okay,
and I'm thinking that Last Jedi might get a 3D IMAX.
I don't think Thor is in IMAX,
I think maybe if Thor is in 3D IMAX,
yeah,
it might be the thing to see because I think a lot of stuff that happens in that actually is this. So, this is one where I say just see it in 2D.
Yeah, 2D's fine. Yeah. See it on the biggest screen you can though, because there are a lot of little like Easter eggy things. Yeah. But yeah, all in though, I had a positive experience. I enjoyed the movie. I'm excited for where DC's going to go, which I think is all you can ask for.
What's next?
I don't even know.
Huh,
okay. Shazam. Shazam is next.
Oh, Shazam next?
So,
okay.
But, yeah, I was looking for Black Adam in the war.
Oh, okay.
Like, I was trying to see if he was there.
Huh. I never even thought about that. Yeah.
Like, that was the time. I mean, like, Black Adam was the, you know, the protector of... The Rock of Solomon or the Rock of Ages for centuries.
Yeah.
So before he went crazy.
We all go a little crazy sometimes.
All right. Well, on that note, we'll see you guys next week.
Later.
The Infamous Podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Friday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. This show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. Those amazing banners that go with our show notes, those are designed by Johnny, and the show is mixed and engineered by me. Our intro music is Moose from bensounds.com. You can find more information about the show online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Infamous Podcast. To stay up to date on the latest news about the show
and find out what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page, patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and what we're looking for is help to grow the show to keep bringing you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @JohnnyPodorf, and I'm on most social networks as @BrianTudor. So whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Later.